Can't get no sleeves from my records.
You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. Let's go right to the phones, and joining us is Austin Parr. Good morning, Austin.
Good morning, Terry. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. We're getting the pent-up demand to get out on the water is unbelievable. We've talked boating. Of course, we talked turkey hunting. We're going to talk more of that after the next segment after this. But people are ready. There's still great ice fishing going on. We may mention that. But people are ready to get on the open water. In fact, waiting for this segment, we've already been texted by people asking about Chatfield and Cherry Creek. You know, the walleyes, the trout, the bass, and the panfish and ponds, all of that's going to become available with this warm weather. What are you hearing out there, and what are people, what kind of feedback are you getting?
Yeah, so actually just a few minutes ago, got two separate reports talking about how Cherry Creek is almost 100% ice-free right now. So we should see boating out there potentially this next week. So keep an eye out on their website for that. Certainly looking forward to getting out there and fishing that. But Chatfield has plenty of open water right now, although there's still some ice holding on in that southern end. So we may be another week or so before we're going to see boating out on Chatfield. But the walleyes are going to be getting going. But right now, the trout have been up on the shorelines pretty heavily, and folks have been catching them all across the Front Range. Barber Ponds has been very good at St. Vrain State Park, but Chatfield also has been producing a good number of trout. We've been hearing great reports from Bear Creek Reservoir as well, fishing open water. And a lot of these lakes, particularly Bear Creek, did not see a whole lot of ice fishing pressure this year. It just never got the normal safe ice that we would be seeing for any kind of period of time. So Bear Creek is a great option to maybe find some holdover trout that did not get pressured through the ice fishing.
Now, a lot of these trout we're going to see, I think that was true up and down the Front Range. We didn't see as much pressure as we normally do because the ice was kind of hit and miss all winter. And they Definitely. Restock, they stock in the fall, they restock in the spring. And then you've got the rainbows, the holdover ones, kind of looking to spawn. So they're coming in shallow, the water's warming. The trout along the shore of the bigger bodies of water is probably one of the most reliable bites right now. What kind of techniques do you recommend to people when they go after those?
So really covering a lot of water to start with, try and find your locations where the fish are concentrated is something that I like to do. So along the shoreline, I'm mobile. I'm not really setting up in one spot a whole lot to start with, and I'm picking something that covers some good water. So I like a small jerk bait, like an HD trout lure, but then also a Castmaster or some form of a heavier spinner like a Blue Fox Vibrax all can cover some water pretty quickly. Once I locate some of those fish, a lot of times you can switch to a fly rod with fish that are up shallow spawning. You can strip small streamers like a woolly bugger and trail a little nymph like a soft tackle hare's ear. But you can also nymph fish egg flies, stillwater nymph fishing with an indicator. But you can also go and put a bait line out with some salmon eggs or some power bait. And if you have a second rod stamp, then cast a secondary rod as well. And once you get some good fish located in a certain area, you can make some pretty good production happen. So whether you're with a kid or just yourself, or there's great opportunities to be had over the next couple of weeks. And that's not even mentioning the walleyes that we're going to be seeing in the next couple of weeks as well.
Well, on those trout, one of my favorite techniques, I love covering water the way you do. But if I have a second angler with me or a kid with me, or even just using my second rod stamp, you know, you can't chum in Colorado, but you can put out baits that give off scent. And I think the power bait, the paste type power bait, if you can put one, if you locate a pod of fish and put that out there, they're going to stay around just because of that. And it not only will you catch them on the power bait, but it does end up making your moving presentation so much more effective, Austin.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're drawing fish in, and you can not to mention, does it make your moving presentation effective? It also gives you an opportunity to catch a bunch of fish on that rod as well. So you get it out in a rod holder. And something that I just kind of want to make mention, if someone's doing that, do everything you can to keep your reel out of the sand. That's something that I see at the store all the time where people have issues with reels and it's filled with sand and dirt. So buy a rod holder, get it up out of the sand, and don't lay your reel down in that dirt. You'll have a reel that's going to last a lot longer if you do that.
I couldn't agree more. Before we get to the walleyes a little bit, I think the ponds and some of the smaller lakes, even Quincy I'm hearing, is open. And the bass and panfish in these bodies of water, as they warm up over the next few days, are going to be another great option.
Absolutely. And you can do the same kind of two-rod setup for those. But a lot of times on my bait rod, rather than throwing something like power bait, I'll be shifting over to a live minnow or a shiner. So in areas that you can do that, you cannot do that at Quincy, but a lot of your other local ponds you can. I'll run a little float or slip bobber and have a live shiner down there hooked to the dorsal fin. And then I'm going to be casting a more of a reactionary bait for these cold water bass. So I love suspending jerk baits, a wrapless shadow wrap or X wrap can be great options. Even some husky jerks. I've caught good fish on this time of year. But I also like catching fish on some spinner baits, low rolling spinner baits. I like lipless cranks, and then chatter baits all work well for me in the cold water. So you can do the same type of presentation where you lay a rod out there, have it sit with that bait, and then you work your main rod and continue to work down your bank with that type of a setup. And a lot of times you get a good handful of fish doing something like that for your largemouth, and then you can work some smaller jigs for your crappie and shift from a shiner to a fathead if you're fishing for more of the panfish.
And I think probably a little early for the bluegills. You can get them on a jig, but give it about 2-3 weeks and those bluegills will start moving to shore too. And that's when you want to get a kit out. In fact, I have a video on my YouTube channel, Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom, on taking my grandkids out that's posted right now. You can get the link on my Facebook page, Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, where I take a public pond after I've checked and the bluegills have moved in. And I just put about 2 feet of line below a pencil bobber with an unweighted hook and a piece of nightcrawler or gulp bait on that. And as that bait slowly falls, or if the kids move it, it goes up and down. And you won't maybe catch the biggest panfish, but boy, will you hammer the panfish with that type of presentation. Real quick, what do you see and hearing about the walleye bite, the shore bite especially right now?
Hasn't been picking up to a huge degree as of yet, but with this warm temperature that we're going to be seeing this week and next, I'm going to be anticipating some fish moving up shallow here quickly in your small ponds. Maybe another week or so, maybe 2 weeks before we see fish move up on some of your rock faces on your bigger bodies of water. Keep in mind to look at the regulations on each body of water that you're fishing. Cherry Creek has that dam that's going to be getting closed, as does Chatfield. So watch that. Certainly we'll see where the spawn goes with CPW. But the suspending jerk baits are going to be where to go. Shadow wraps are one of my favorites, but X wraps also produce well. Slow presentations and a lot of times not as heavy of a jerk as you're going to be thinking. I do a lot really, really well with a lighter pop when that water's really cold.
Well, and it's typically those jerk baits this time of year are low light presentation, early morning, late evening. It can be hit and miss the number of bites, but you're liable to catch the biggest walleye of your life. Or if you get into a bunch of those active males, you can get a pretty steady bite. In the brighter times of the day, I like to throw maybe just a lead head jig at them with a piece of plastic on it.
Yeah, I love twitch tail minnows and gulp minnows in the daytime this time of year. Work in the same general type of areas off of the edges of your rock faces, and you can pick up some fish with that. But in reality, this time of year, as you mentioned, the low light periods and into the darkness is definitely going to be my optimal time frame. And certainly if you're walking the dam face, try and limit the amount of light that you have on the water. I've always done better. The darker you can keep it, the better I typically have with the bite.
All right. We got just a little bit of time left. Real quick, what is the equipment looking like out there? Last year it was hard to get supplies, hard to get rods, reels, line, baits. How are you seeing that? What's happening now? Should people be buying early?
I certainly am seeing some issues. I'm doing everything I can to buy up everything that I can get my hands on right now, but there's still huge areas of blank space. Reels especially are really challenging. Rods at times can be rough. We got a couple of big preseason orders in on some various rod companies, but the actual inventory that's sitting on right now is tough. Anything Chinese-oriented with some of those strikes that have been happening on the West Coast, getting product in off shipping containers is a real big issue right now. So even American-made products that are utilizing a Chinese component or two are being held up. So grab what you can now, especially if you're looking for a new reel. Line's been doing okay with a lot of that being made in the U.S. Crankbaits are a problem, especially any kind of Chinese crankbait. Flicker shads are definitely an issue right now. But across the board, we're doing our best, but it's, I think, going to be somewhat reminiscent of last summer in terms of supply chain issues.
All right, so get your gear early, and it's time to get out there. Austin, if people want more information to get a hold of you, a guide trip, what do they do?
I'm at Discount Fishing Tackle. We're 6 blocks south of Evans on Santa Fe. I'm here all the time. I'd love to talk about a guide trip or any kind of product, whatever we need.
All right. And, of course, always up-to-date fishing information. You know, you get the guys coming in and out. You're on the water yourself. Great resource. Thanks again for joining us, Austin.
Thank you, Terry. I appreciate it.
You bet. Austin Parr. We're going to take a time out. And when we come back, we're going to switch up And J.R. Pierce from Colorado Clay is going to join us, and we're really going to get in to the patterning turkey guns right here on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.